What do you think with me about the word follower? I've been on Twitter for about 10 years and use it as a platform to put out encouraging statements, scriptural concepts, and also to share the gospel, and also other things that people might find inspirational. But in that platform, if you want someone's information to come to you, you become a follower. If someone wants your information in their feed, they follow you. Of course, then there's always that notorious button where you can hit unfollow, or even worse, you can block their content. Well, I want to think today about something that's a lot deeper, a lot deeper concept of following, and that is being a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, I want to take you to Luke chapter 5 and another one of these miracles of Jesus, one you're probably familiar with, and probably you've heard sermons and lessons and studied it for yourself. But as we look at it, it's going to take us back to the fact that Jesus is to be followed. In fact, he is to be followed because he is the perfect leader. So we're going to look at Jesus, the leader, today. And as we go down through this story, this miracle is going to help us see his ability. In fact, that is the focus of our understanding today. We need to just fasten our gaze and fix our attention on what he can do. If we have an assurance of what he can do and a right perspective on that, that is going to motivate us and attract us and pull us in and tie us to him as followers. So if you want to be a follower, focus on his ability today. And this miracle is really going to open that up for us today. I want to begin reading in Luke chapter 5, beginning verse 1. If you have a Bible available, follow along. We'll try to put it on the screen as well. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. Now, this is kind of a fascinating story. Jesus is along the shore of what Luke says Gennesaret, another name for what we know as the Sea of Galilee. And he wants to teach the people because of the multitude that he needs some separation. He needs a stage, if you will, to be able to speak to them so everybody can see and be comfortable. And so there is some boats there, and we later find out that this is Peter and his relatives. So it's Peter, whom is called Simon in this text. So Simon Peter, his brother Andrew, and then James and John. These four were in a cooperative fishing business, and that was their trade and their livelihood. So there's this boat, and it says that they were washing their nets. There were two boats standing by. They're washing their nets. They typically would fish in the night. You'll see that in just a moment. And they're cleaning up, putting their tools away, so to speak. And so he asked him, you know, can I use this boat? So they put out a little from the land, and then he begins his sermon. He begins teaching them. Now, there's four stages that I want to share with you, and I want these to be evaluated in our lives. Where am I in my followership? And the way to move from one stage to a deeper stage, remember, is this, is to focus on his ability. Focus on what he can do and is doing and has promised that he will do. That is the source of our hope. That's the source of real life. Sometimes we just spend our time enduring life. You want to really enjoy life? You fasten your gaze, fix your attention on what Jesus is doing, can do, and has promised to do. That's where our hope and joy comes from. So let's first of all talk about this first stage. I'm going to call it the loaning stage. Peter, in this case, has his boat there. He's doing what he normally would do, fishing, cleaning up after a night of fishing, probably looking forward to getting something to eat and getting some rest. And Jesus asks, would you do me this favor? Could I borrow your boat as a floating stage, a floating platform to be able to teach the Word of God? He is willing to loan Jesus the use of his boat. He simply does that. His willingness to share what he has, albeit on a temporary basis, not expecting that this is going to be a long-term arrangement. Someone that he's previously met, and we know from John's gospel that he's already encountered Jesus because these were followers of John the Baptist, and John points them out, Jesus out to them. But here they are in a different setting, a different stage, and sure, I will loan you that. By the way, that's well and good. That's a good thing. That's a great stage to begin in. It's not necessarily a great stage to stay in. But most of us would be there if you know the Lord Jesus is your Savior. Lord, you can use my car. You can have use of my home. You can have a chunk of my time, but maybe not all of it. Maybe I need to make an arrangement with you. That's a good start to allow Jesus to use what you have. to allow him some access to your life and your livelihood, but we're going to push forward on that. But here's where we need to move forward. Here's what will propel us forward in the depths of our followership. The first thing that will push us forward is, as I already said, look at his ability. I just want you to take a look at what's natural, what's normal. You ever think about this? The setting that you're in right now, or the setting that I am, yeah, there's lots of manufactured construction building materials around me, but every particle of every atom, of every molecule, of every substance, of every material was spoken into existence by our Lord. It says in Philippians that, speaking of the Lord Jesus, all things were made by him and for him. Think about that. He made everything. And think about the things we enjoy seeing. Some of you know I love photography, and I love taking pictures of things that I find attractive and beautiful, whether it's a sunset or a rainbow or a bird or a flower. I enjoy that because I can then pass on what I am seeing to other people. But all those beautiful things that you see and I see that we enjoy, whether real or in image, should remind us of what he can do. We should have this awareness of everything around us, everything to this point, everything we enjoy in our life, even our very life, even the very breath of air that we just put into our lungs and exhaled is a gift from him. We should thank him daily for those things. We should encounter them with him. When we see that beautiful rose blooming in our gardens, we should say, Lord, you outdid yourself once again. You've created a masterpiece. And by the way, we should give him thanks for what is just even natural for us. We are told in Ephesians chapter 2 that we are his workmanship, literally his masterpiece. He's also created us as a beautiful work of his artistic ability and his loving character. So just focus on what he has done in the real, the natural, the seeable, the tangible, the experienceable world in which we live. As we do, we're going to say, Lord, use what I have. Take it and use it. But there's a second stage we want to look at, and that's what happens next in the story. So let me carry your attention down to verse 4. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your will, I will let down the net. So when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled their partners in the other boat and came and helped them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. Now picture this. Imagine this with me. This takes us to where we're going to go. We're going to talk next about the listening stage. That is simply this. What Jesus said for them to do, he listened, and they responded in obedience. So now, remember, these are four professional fishermen. They were out, and Jesus says, okay, done with the sermon, launch out, let's go fishing. Bring your nets, let's go fishing. And then Peter says this, you know, we've been working hard all night. We've caught zip. We have put all this labor in, absolutely no return on our investment of time, equipment, energy, and expertise. But Jesus says, you need to go out. Let's go out. Launch your out into the nets. And Peter says this, Simon, he says, Lord, nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Lord, I don't even have to understand it. I don't think it's highly likely anything's going to happen, but because you said it, I will do it. That's a great stage to be in, that stage of our following the Lord Jesus, that what he says, we intend to do. Now, we understand we have some inconsistencies in our life. We talked last week about that spiritual examination needs to take place. There's some things that we need to confess and forsake. But as a general rule, as we grow in him and we grow to know his ability, we're going to try to do what he tells us to do. We're going to try to be obedient, even if we don't fully understand how it all fits together. We appreciate enough of what he says and who he says to do what he says. Well, what's going to push us on in that? Again, we need to focus on his ability. This is all set up to see his ability, okay, on display. But you think about it, at this listening stage, they say, we're going to do it, and it's his word that is the focus. You know, as we talked a moment ago, we can see his ability in the natural world, but we also need to see his ability as we read what we read in the pages of Scripture. And what did we just read? Look at it again, if you will. It says, verse 6, and when they had done this, that's let down the net, when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. They signaled the other boat, it says in verse 7, to come and to help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. See the contrast? We've caught nothing. This is pointless. Jesus, okay, we will do it. Probably somewhat reluctantly, probably a lot skeptically. But as soon as they put in the nets, here come the fish. The fish couldn't wait to get in the nets. And they start pulling up. Remember, they'd not caught a single fish all night. By the way, that was the time when fishing was done in that era, because the fish would come up and feed near the surface. When it would get hot in the daytime, the fish typically would descend down to a lower depth where net fishing was not going to be very productive. So it was the wrong time, the wrong way, the wrong way to approach this in Simon's mind. But he says, Lord, I'm going to do it. And suddenly here comes this fish, so much that the net is starting to break. They fill one boat. Hey, come help us. The other partners come. They fill both boats. They've never caught fish, this many fish before. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the scene, all the flopping in the water and the hustle and the pull and the tug? And suddenly it begins to dawn on them. Listening to Jesus was the right thing to do. And by the way, Jesus, listening to Jesus for us is always and ever the right thing to do. So you think with me now, we need to listen to his word. You're giving your time to listen to the word being taught today. You're following along with the scriptures as we go through this. That is all great stuff. Make sure you're a person of the word. And I want to encourage you to do what we just did there a moment ago. Engage your thought, engage your imagination. It is so easy, particularly these stories that are so familiar to us, just to read down the passage, just to go down through what it says, and just sort of let it lay there limp on the page. When really it should leap right into our imaginations. It should just captivate us. And we should see those fish, and we should see that net, and we should see Jesus in what he can do. You want to be a follower of the Lord Jesus and move to a deeper stage of followership? Well, you focus on what you see of his ability in the natural world. You focus on what you see of his ability in the Word of God. And that takes us to the third stage. We're going to call this the lowering stage. Let's go back to the scriptures and see what it says. Verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Now, you think with me, this response of lowering himself, this response of humility, this response of saying, Lord, you are higher than me. By the way, this is a normal response you see in Scripture. Let me just share a couple verses with you just to remind you of how this works. There's a verse that's found in the 42nd chapter of Job. When Job, after all of his trouble, God shows up to have an encounter with him. Basically, Job has said, boy, if God had show up, I have some questions that he needs to answer for me. Basically, God shows up, asks Job a whole series of questions that Job can't answer. And he has no more anything to say. But verses 5 and 6, he says this, I have heard of you by the hearing of my ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Let me share with you a verse from Isaiah chapter 6, where Isaiah has a wonderful vision of God, a powerful vision that is of him seated and high and lifted up on this throne. Here's what he says, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Now, you think with me there. They reacted in humility. They lowered themselves. There was this immediate reaction to know that he is Lord and I need to lower myself. And Peter says it this way, Depart from me. I know I'm a sinful man. There was something about God's spectacular ability on display right in front of him in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew he was a sinner. He knew that he shouldn't be hanging around someone so righteous and so holy. Let's just take a moment and say this to you. If you're watching this morning and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I would simply say this to you. What he said is true. We really should depart from him, and he should depart from us because we're sinful. But that's not what Jesus does. He comes to us. He came. He lived on this earth. God came with skin on. He became enfleshed, incarnate, we call it theologically. So he comes to be with us and lives a perfect life so that he doesn't have the sin problem that Simon confesses and that you and I should confess. But he does something to bring us back into fellowship, that we don't need to depart from him. He died on the cross to pay sin's price. And all he asks of us, it's very simple, it's not much, that we just believe. We put our faith in that. We're told that we are justified by faith. For by grace, that's what he did for us in dying on the cross for us. For by grace are you saved through faith, it says in Ephesians 2. It's through faith, through belief. And it's not of works, he goes on to say in that passage, lest we should be able to boast about it, you understand? We don't do anything to gain salvation, we just accept salvation. Have you accepted God's free gift of salvation? If not, today would be the day. Just right now, stop what you're doing and just say this prayer to him. You can whisper to him, he will hear. If you mean it in your heart, tell him you know you're a sinner, just as Simon did, just as we should and should always do. We have had things in our lives that are an affront to God's character, that are insulting to his perfection, that are just evil and sinful. That being the case, Lord, I know you died for me. Tell him you believe that. Tell him you're right now receiving him and his gift of salvation. We'd love to help you with that. If you want to talk more about someone that, I encourage you to visit this part of our website. It's calvarywv.com/talk. We'll be in touch with you. One of us pastors here at Mount Calvary will be in touch with you. Whatever format we can set up, in person, we can do it by video, we can do it by phone, we can do it by chat, we can do it by email, whatever's comfortable for you. We want to have a conversation. I heard from one of our folks this week online with a friend, and is having a conversation about world events, and this person expressed some level of uncertainty. And right there, via that means, led this friend to the Lord. She later tells another friend about that, and this person that was relaying the story that I finally heard via one of her other pastors said she'd led both of these ladies to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, all online. We would love to do that with you. We'd love to help you. But what about us who are part of God's family already? What's he call us to do? Well, we're talking about following. We're talking about focusing our attention on his ability. And as we focus our attention on his ability, it pulls us into to a deeper stage, a deeper level of followership. So let's bring, we talked about the lowering stage. Well, where do we focus on that? What part of God's work do we focus on? I want you to think about this. We talked about focusing on his ability we see in the natural world, focus on the ability that we see in the Word of God. But thirdly, focus on what he has done for you in the past. Simon Peter, is focusing on his past. I am a sinful man. What am I doing in the presence of someone that can cause this miracle to take place like this? I mean, I'm a professional fisherman, never seen this. The timing is a God thing. The reaction of the fish is a time thing. The amount of the catch is a God thing. God's fingerprints are all over this. This is not a strange coincidence. Jesus said, put down your nets for a catch. Notice he says that in verse 4. I put down your nets, not just to give it a try, not just because it may. Jesus already knew what was going to happen because he dictated what would happen through his ability. Where have you seen God's work in your past? How about the fact that you're still here? You think of all the things that could go wrong, all the things that could have ended our life prematurely in our book. Well, we're still here. How about all the things that we have to sustain life? Think about the things you've been through that you've recovered from, the accidents that you've recovered from or the accidents that you narrowly avoided. And maybe at that time you didn't give credit to God for it, but now looking back you say, that was the mark of God. That was the footprint of God in my fingerprint of God in my life. And we can see the footprints of God all around us if we look. Take a few moments sometime today on this Lord's Day and just think back and think to God. This would be a good worship experience. Just try to recount all of those things that have brought you to this point. And as you mark those things that have happened in the past as places where you see his ability, it's going to bring us to this point where we say, Lord, why would you love someone such as me? Why would you be so good to me? It'll wipe out all the complaining and the whining, frankly, and bring us to this point where Peter is right now of lowering himself and worshiping his Lord. And that's where God wants us to be. There's one more stage, and it's what we're going to call the leaving stage. The leaving stage. Look what happens. Verse 9. And he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. So when they had brought their boats to the land, they forsook all and followed him. At this point, they had got to the point because they had focused on God's ability. They weren't just loaning him stuff. They weren't just listening. That was a good thing. They weren't just lowering themselves. That's a good thing as well. It's all good things, but we need to move forward. But they were now willing to leave. On the day of the greatest catch, they left everything. They left their boats, left their nets, left their livelihood, left their career, left their families. They even left that catch of fish behind to follow Jesus. And Jesus says, you have a higher purpose. Now you're going to catch men. It's interesting. Peter and the others were caught in Jesus' net. And now he says, you're going to catch others in a net and bring them in and draw them to me. And that's a great, great thing. God wants us to be living that in such a way that we are part of his kingdom and part of his work, that others are drawn to the Lord, that they would come to know him. And the fact that they leave all. And now, God doesn't call all of us to leave our livelihood and go into the ministry or go to the mission field. But we at least should reach this point of followership, this stage of followership, that, Lord, whatever you want, whatever you direct, whatever you say, whatever it costs, whatever it changes, whatever, wherever it takes me, no matter how far out of my comfort zone I may go, Lord, here I am, send me. Here I am, use me. I am your servant. I hope that as we think and fasten our attention on the Lord's ability, that you indeed are in you move past the loaning and the listening and the lowering, and now you are at the leaving stage, at least willing. Lord, whatever you want for me. And that's all we need to lay before the Lord. Lord, what do you want from me? Then you let him direct specifically. These four men's lives were changed drastically, and God used them to launch not only after Christ's resurrection and ascension to launch the church, but to spread the gospel around the known world at that time. And that spread continues today, all these centuries later, and it rests on the foundation of these men being willing to leave all and follow the Lord. So where are you? You say, well, you know, I struggle with that. I understand that. That's very common. Am I at that place where I would just do anything for the Lord? Most of us would confess quickly. You know, that's not a place I spend a lot of time. How do you get there? Well, I want to encourage you to do this. You focus on his ability. We talked about focus on seeing his ability in the natural world. Focus on his ability as we see it in the Word of God. Focus on his ability, what he's done for us in the past. And focus on his ability about what he's doing in the present. That might be a little harder to see than looking back at the past or looking at the Word of God or looking at the natural world. But what is he doing? What is he doing right now in real time? How is he leading you? How is he whispering to you? What is he doing? What are you catching him doing? We need to go on this great pursuit to try to find and see God at work in our lives today. So be listening. Make that a matter of prayer. Lord, show me. Help me not miss what you're doing. Help me to get some hint, at least, some little clue of what you're up to. In spite of all the turmoil and all the noise that's out there, I assure you, our God is at work and the church is going forward. And may God help us to be better and more sincere and deeper stage followers of our Lord. We started with this idea, and I'll just recount it. Jesus is our leader. We are to follow him. And as we focus our attention, fasten our gaze on his ability, that will motivate us and pull us to a deeper level, a deeper stage of following him. God's going to bless you as you follow him. Let's make sure that we have our hearts open to him and we follow him fully today.